I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning to everybody. Hope your weekends were great.
Deep down, I'm fat.
I got distracted by Dikembe Mutombo, and I forgot Brady Henderson. We got to call Brady. Brady Henderson's in Detroit. We got Monday Night Football tonight.
Shut up about Dikembe. We can get to Brady, who's in Detroit, man.
Stop talking over there, man. Happens from time to time. We get sidetracked. By the way, the third in our big three, I forgot Maggie Smith passed away. Was that Thursday?
That was Thursday or Friday. Yeah, that's quite the Maggie Smith, Chris Christopherson, and Dikembe Mutombo.
That's a big three right there.
A lot of defense. Yeah.
Internationally known. Yep. A lot of respect in different industries and communities for all three of them. So there you go. There's your big three. Very sad news. Seattle plays tonight. We are awaiting the result of tonight's game for a show-winning record on Spraying the Line.
We'll see what happens.
We got a couple of 2-1's already in the books, and you got the Seahawks tonight on Monday Night Football.
I do, +3.5.
+3.5. Yeah. Joining us now is our good friend, Brady Henderson, covering the Seahawks for ESPN, on Twitter, at Brady Henderson. Brady, good morning to you. Where does Detroit rank in terms of cities you get to go visit and go to?
Well, it's not my favorite. Yeah, I'll be honest. the downtown Detroit area is cool. There's Greektown is a fun part of town. If you like to play blackjack like I do every now and again, there's a casino right downtown. So they've got some cool restaurants down there. So I'm actually not staying in Detroit. I'm staying out in some suburb of Detroit that's a lot further away from the city than I realized. So there was last night I went to Yard House with my buddy on the beat, Bob Condota, who covers the team from Seattle Times. And that was about it. Not a whole lot to do out in the burbs.
Now, we got to make sure we ask for security purposes. You're not staying at Dan Campbell's new house, right?
Oh,
you didn't
dox
Dan Campbell and show up to his house, right?
I did not. That was disappointing hearing that. Like, the guy who was made Detroit a winner for the first time in a long time, that he would have to move his family because he was getting some grief from fans after losses. That was pretty weird.
It's ridiculous. It's the ugly part of sports. You, speaking of coaches that are in the good graces of fans, Mike McDonald is in the good graces right now. The Seahawks undefeated. Big game for them. They've seemingly always played really wild and fun games against the Lions the last few years. So I'm anxious to see how this goes tonight. You wrote a great piece on McDonald for ESPN.com last week, and I had some takeaways. From somebody who's writing its perspective, you know that it's the same in some ways, the style, what the coach values with what Pete Carroll hadn't valued. But what stuck out to you of being the most different or eye-opening, seeing what he was changing or forming out of from Pete Carroll?
Yeah, it's really the leadership style. And yeah, you get kind of a some sense of that just from hearing McDonald and how he comes off in press conferences. And he's compared to Carroll, he's, you know, a man of few words, and he's just very direct. And that really plays out in his leadership style as well. And as we all know, Pete Carroll, you know, he would kind of give his players a lot of rope, and he believed that the way to get the most out of his players was to empower them and to let them be themselves. And he would let them kind of go, you know, up to a point, and then he would, you know, kind of rein them in up to that point. And, you know, that worked. I think it obviously worked well enough for him to be the best coach in franchise history. And a lot of players that really thrived in Seattle might not have thrived elsewhere because they would have been, I think, a lot more restricted in how they could behave and how they could express themselves. And, you know, it worked very well in Seattle, but there was an obvious downside to that. And, you know, the Seahawks people that I talked to, and I think everybody in the building, has so much respect for Pete Carroll that, you know, they weren't really saying this out loud, but the subtext, I think, in a lot of their comments and what I really picked up on is the Seahawks felt like they wanted, or at least this was very appealing to them as they were interviewing candidates, you know, somebody with a different leadership style and somebody who would run a tighter ship. And that's exactly what McDonald does. And I've seen him do things and say things at practice to players that I had never in 14 years heard Pete Carroll say. And you know, when I say that, I don't want people to picture like the you know, the barracks scene from Full Metal Jacket, where he's not going full drill sergeant on anybody, but he's like, he's getting on players and he's coaching them hard and he's coming down on them when he needs to. And I really think that, you know, a lot of those guys that do that, it's really, that's the approach they more so take with younger players. And I think as guys get older and more established in the league, those conversations are different. So I don't think he is, you know, calling DK Metcalf into his office and, you know, swearing at him and yelling at him. But he's doing that with younger players, and he's really trying to send a message that, hey, there's a standard that they're going to have to uphold in Seattle if they're going to want to stick around. And so I think he's demanding of everybody, but some of those really hard conversations, I think those are more so happening with younger players. And that was, you'll probably notice that if you read the story, that the two kind of incidents that I heard about, the one that I witnessed and then the other one that I heard about, you know, those were young players where he was really, you know, I would say he was coaching them hard, and it's just a very different style of communication and of leadership than what these players are used to from Pete Carroll.
Interesting. We're talking with Brady Henderson, covers the Seahawks for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Brady Henderson, and they are in Detroit in Monday Night Football tonight, a game that will be a standalone game because nobody wants to watch Titans and Dolphins, and a game you can hear right here on The Fan later on this evening. Are you surprised at how well Geno Smith is playing this year?
Not really, no. I mean, he's I think in the one sense is that I am somewhat surprised is, you know, he's really overcoming a bad offensive line, and that was a challenge for him the last year. And I think there's people in the building, or at least people who were with the team last year, who would tell you that a big reason for Geno's struggles last year were the fact that, you know, he was handcuffed behind a pretty bad offensive line. And so this is sort of what Geno is. I mean, he's going to be pretty good, like really good in some moments. He's going to be pretty good in a lot of moments. And there's going to be some of those mistakes that you just got to live with because he's not Patrick Mahomes. I think he's better than a lot of people give him credit for. But, you know, I don't know that he's one of those elite guys who's going to carry your team when there's a lot going on around you. He's going to need some help. And, you know, he's gotten, I think, barely enough help, you know, with some struggles in the run game, with Ken Walker being gone, with obviously an offensive line that was already very deficient in you know, just with the personnel, and that they've taken even more of a hit with some injuries there. And so I think Geno is, you know, easily a top half quarterback in the NFL, an above average starter, you know, from 1 to 32. But, you know, if you're not Patrick Mahomes and you're not Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, maybe Joe Burrow, like you're going to have a hard time overcoming some difficult challenges around you, like the offensive line. And I think he's done as well as you could reasonably expect him to do in that regard.
And kind of a two-parter for you on two players. What changes for them? Kenneth Walker is coming back. At least Mike McDonald made it seem that way a couple days ago. So Kenneth Walker back in the backfield for Seattle. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba, a lot of hype coming out of the draft last year, and maybe didn't live up to what some people thought he would be year one, but what have you made of his second season and what he has become for Seattle's offense?
Yeah, well, it's kind of been a game-by-game, you know, proposition with him. Like in the opener, didn't do a whole lot, and then I think the game plan in New England really favored him a lot more because, you know, that's when they were playing a full game for the first time without George Fant, who went down in the opener. So I think the ball had to come out a lot quicker. And it was really a lot of underneath stuff. And I think that's why, a big reason why he had the most productive game of his career. So I don't think his 2000, you know, his rookie season was all that disappointing or surprising. That's sort of what I figured it would look like. I figured it would look kind of a lot like Tyler Lockett's rookie season in 2015, just because he was like Smith-Njigba was last year. He's got the third guy in a good receiver core. And I think, you know, this receiver core is better than it was, you know, 9 years ago. And so when you're that third guy and you're a rookie, it's going to be hard to come in and you know, get 1,000 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns. So I thought his production last season was good, but I think you're going to see him take a step this year. And you certainly saw the potential in that game against New England a couple weeks ago when he had over 100 yards, what, 10 catches, something like that. You know, he's not just a short area, move the chain slot guy. I think you've seen him late last year, he really showed them that he can be an outside guy, and he's not a burner, but he can get open. Remember that Monday night game against Philadelphia that Drew Locke started? I mean, he won that game for them with a go route from the, you know, from outside the numbers. And so That's, I think, an area where you could see him make more of an impact. But he's a guy who can do a lot of good things as a receiver, but he's not just that short area move the chain slot guy.
Yeah, great stuff. Brady Henderson covering the Seahawks for ESPN. He's one of our favorites. Monday Night Football tonight. They are in Detroit. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Brady Henderson. You can hear the game right here on The Fan. Enjoy the suburbs as much as you can. Enjoy the game. He seemed to be wonky. Good back and forth games, and Seattle's got a nice streak going against the Lions, and hopefully we can do this again soon. Thanks, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Brady Henderson of ESPN.
Kenneth Walker is a beast, though.
He is a beast, and he is back, and he is healthy.
Two-part player questions, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it happens. But I'm excited about that game tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about it coming up at the end of the show.
They always play exciting football games.
It's always a good game, I feel like. And I think, what's the number? They've won 6 or 7 in a row against the Lions, something like that.
Including a couple times where it's felt like, oh, Detroit's going to win this game. And then Seattle comes in and just electrifies them.
I feel like the last 5 times they played him, it's been in Detroit too. It's one of those weird matchups right now. I feel like it's always there and never in Seattle, but I know I'm misremembering that a little bit probably. So we'll have more on that coming up at the end of the show. Let's dive into the NFL weekend. Are the Vikings the best team in the NFL? Are we buying the Commies as playoff? Like, are the Commies legit? What do we make of it? We'll start diving into the NFL weekend next on The Fam. All right, pressing questions out of week 4 of the NFL slate.
Well, questions that actually cannot be answered.
Oh, we're answering them today.
With confidence.
Emphatically answering them.
Well, I'm on one team and I'm not in on another team.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to find this out. Are the Minnesota Vikings the best team in the NFC?
No.
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 Who's the best team in the NFC?
They don't have one yet.
Okay. Who's the best team right now in the NFC?
Technically, by record, the Minnesota Vikings.
What's your hatred towards the Vikings, man? What did they ever do to you?
I don't.
Why are you so anti-Viking over there?
One, I don't want to be wrong on a
Sammy Darnold take. Is the Sammy Darnold take upsetting you right now?
No, it's not upsetting
me. Three tutties, 275, shredding Jordan Love.
You know what lost Green Bay that game yesterday?
What did?
Wasn't the Minnesota defense that was stout most of the way?
It was, till they had a bit of a Bama-Georgia problem.
Well, yeah.
It was 28-0 in the first half.
Minnesota's offense kind of went quiet there for a minute.
It disappeared.
It was when Jordan Love showed up with a Brett Favre jersey on. That was the minute they were going to get scammed out of a win.
He was going to throw 3 picks
in
Brett Favre fashion.
Yes.
And they were going to lose the game.
That's exactly what happened.
To Brett Favre's former team, the Minnesota Vikings.
Look, you wear the jersey of a stolen welfare queen, bad things are going to happen to you. Duly noted that, Jordan Love. They're good. Their defense is outstanding. Kevin O'Connell is not easily. He's definitely in the running for front-running coach of the year. I think he won it 2-3 years ago, so he's going to win it again.
Yeah.
Because every coach that has a good record wins coach of the year, except Kyle Shanahan. He's the only one that can't get the award because his team's too good.
He can't get one.
Minnesota by record is. I think they're legit, actually. I'm to that point. I'm not ready to say the best in the NFC. Are they better than Tampa?
You're damn right they are.
Are they better than
Niners? They're not out here losing to Bo Nix, and they already beat the Niners head-to-head.
Yeah.
They got the win.
Okay.
Doesn't it matter? Come on.
The regular season, it
does. It is funny how long it takes us to kind of get there mentally.
Niners dominated the Rams every time, and then they met in the playoffs, and what happened? The Rams beat them.
They did. They lost in the NFC title game because they couldn't catch an interception. When you look, too, like sometimes, like Seattle's this way kind of for me tonight. Seattle going into the game is undefeated. They're one of the...
Seattle's a good team, too.
Are they the only other undefeated team left? Them in Minnesota?
In the NFC?
And Kansas City.
Anybody else in the NFC.
In the NFC, though. Only those two.
Yes.
But when you compare who they beat, and you're like, all right, Seattle... He went to overtime with New England. Bo Nix took you to the wire in week 1.
It was also his first game.
It was first game. Like, there's some of that of, like, you're undefeated. Seattle's a good, decent team, but I haven't believed it yet because they haven't really beaten anybody.
Sure.
That will change tonight. That's the irony about Minnesota is they've rattled off 3 in a row. The Giants game, whatever. The Giants are terrible. You blow them out in week 1. 3 straight weeks where they beat the Niners.
Yep.
Took the Texans behind the woodshed.
Yes.
And the Texans were up-and-coming AFC favorite for everybody. And then this game did have a bit of the Georgia. This was 28-0 in Lambeau in the first half.
Yeah.
28-0.
Yeah.
Next couple weeks, they get the Jets in London, and then you play the Lions in a big NFC North showdown. Like, it's just funny that I'm with you. Like, it's an overreaction take for everybody. Them being 4-0 is a bit shocking, primarily, though, because of who they've played. And if you told me at the start of the year they're 4-0, I wouldn't have believed you.
I can't answer the question if they're the best in the NFC. By record, they're in it. But I don't know how confident you are in saying it. And it's September.
Yeah, it's early.
I think that's the tough thing. What are they going to be this weekend? Are they going to lose to the Jets in London? I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
I mean, but even if they do, I don't think I'm discounting them quite yet.
No, I'm not either.
Depending on how the game goes.
I think they're a legitimate playoff team, and I thought they'd be the worst team in that division.
Yeah.
That is for the Bears.
The Bears are definitely that team.
They somehow won this weekend. The Rams are terrible. Matt Stafford's the worst fantasy quarterback to have. Yeah. I have him. That being said, what they're doing is really impressive. And Sam Darnold, you give him a ton of credit for this. Justin Jefferson's been a monster every single week. And Brian Flores has schemed a living hell out of these offenses with what he's doing defensively. The other team in the NFC that's making noise right now, and they deserve all of the credit and the flowers and the talk, I'm not buying them.
The Commies? You out on the Commies?
I'm not out. I'm just not buying what they're being talked about. People are putting them in an NFC conversation of like legitimately winning the conference. They won yesterday.
42-14.
They
over
almost
Arizona.
Hit the over by themselves.
So the over under was what, 50 in that game?
It got to 48.5 locally, which scared the living hell out of me because I had it at 50 on spring line.
And then Arizona couldn't score, and you're like, oh, okay, makes sense.
But I mean, are you gonna keep going every game where you punt once? Their defense is terrible, by the way. I know they only allowed 14 points, but I feel like what Washington's doing is a little smoke and mirrors with a mix of a good start from a young quarterback. Whereas Minnesota, to me, feels a little more legit, even if I'm still questioning.
As a contender, as like a playoff contender.
Yes.
They just feel like a more complete team, and I know that was a really impressive win.
But Washington's in the worst division.
They are. Like, if you
they could win that division.
Yes.
If I'm making you gamble right now on the NFC East champ, who do you gamble on?
I would.
Unconfidently, the Eagles.
Yeah.
I think I'd go Washington. I think they have an easier schedule.
Dallas's defense is blown.
Right when you thought Philly's like, okay, they went on the road and beat New Orleans. Here comes Philly. They go down to Tampa and just get. I mean, they were
smoked,
dominated this weekend.
Out of
that
game, yeah.
That was and that's a team that dominated you in the. They ended your year last year. There should be a little extra animosity and emotion going into it, and they got boat raced in that game.
Hurts was awful in that game.
Terrible.
And by the way, Dallas has lost Lawrence and Parsons on the defensive line, and they already weren't that good of a defense. And Dallas just obviously has the look of like a 7-10, 8-9 type of
Washington
season.
Washington gets to host Cleveland this coming Sunday.
But see, this is why the NFL, this is why like you come back and you're like, oh, is this team going to go to the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Watch them lose to the Browns this weekend. You think that's such a sure thing. You don't know anything.
We know nothing.
I loved the Raiders all week last week. And then I saw the injury report and I said, well, no way. And then they won.
Yeah, they dominated that game too.
You know what I know about the NFL? You don't know anything. You refuse to gamble on it.
We know nothing.
You
John
know
Snow.
Nothing, and I know nothing.
I put money on my Sprague in the line, and I hit the over.
Oh, on your one pick?
He got
good job
pick.
On your one pick.
He got his one pick.
Good
right.
job on your one pick.
I know everything about the league, man. I'm all dialed in. I was 2-1 this weekend. I'm back, baby.
Oh, you know everything about the league?
No, I'm ready. It's going to be a 3-0 weekend this week, man. We're trending in the right direction. I got it all figured out now. Just took me a month. Now I got it all figured out.
The Washington one, as much as like Minnesota is being undefeated and beating who they've beaten, the Washington one, wow.
Shocking.
Who saw that coming?
Genuinely shocking.
But he's 82%. He's got the best completion percentage. I'm ruining an NFL factoid for tomorrow.
You are.
He's got the best completion percentage in the first four games of a season of any quarterback ever. Not rookie, any. 07 Brady, get out of here.
Wild.
He's 82%.
Absolutely wild.
He looks like a 10-year veteran.
He does. He's running all over people. The offense is great. A week after two, who's it, Britt in Cincinnati, said, oh, yeah, they run a nice little college offense. Now they like haven't punted in two games, so maybe we stop talking trash, and maybe I need to stop making fun of Cliff Kingsbury because they look unstoppable right now.
I'm not ready to stop making fun of Cliff Kingsbury. He'll Cliff Kingsbury at some point. But I'm like watching this kid, and I, as much as I make fun of you and swag of knowing nothing, none of us know anything, I also have to tell you, I watched him play. I've watched all of his games, like had him on my quad box. When does he get bad? He just looks like he knows when to escape the pocket. His footwork's good. Yeah. He's making throws in weird platform positions. Like, he legitimately looks like a 10-year veteran.
They have a reliable running back to keep it balanced.
They've got targets. Yeah. I mean, McCaffrey's little brother is a real threat now.
It's coming on.
McLaurin's a beast. My God.
Here come the commies.
Maybe the commies are going to be.
Zach Ertz might have been one of the best under the radar pickups, a veteran guy who.
Unbelievable.
Now they just got to get rid of their stupid name. If they're going to make the playoffs again and be relevant, and Daniels is the guy, you have to change your name.
Was it the Red Tails?
Red Tails, Red Hogs, anything, man. Like
the Red Hogs.
A million different names.
Red Tails would be a very respectful name to do.
I think Red Tails would be.
Commies are terrible. The team's not, the name is. How long until Robert Saleh's fired in New York because Aaron Rodgers is their GM and their owner, and
if they
they're
go to London
and they lost to Bo Nix.
If they go to London and get boat raced by the Vikings,
yeah, if the Vikings do this again.
Bo Nix he broke NFL records this weekend.
Oh yeah,
nobody's ever had that many completions for that few yards and won a game. It's never happened in the history of the NFL. He was 12 of 25 for 60 yards. He did throw a tutty. Did have a tutty. How you lose that game is all-time embarrassing, especially right when you're looking at the Jets, to your point about knowing nothing, and you say, okay, you get boat raced by the 49ers in week one, understandable, Rodgers' first game, whatever, not going to write you off. Eke out a win against Tennessee, probably should have lost, but Mayo boy made some dumb plays. Okay, you got into the win column, and then you did what you were supposed to do against New England on Thursday night. You're like, hey, Rodgers kind of looks the part. Are they figuring things out? Here come the Jets. You lose to the Broncos in 60 passing yards.
Commies are third best odds to win the NFC East, by the way. If you like them to win that division, you can
I'm
get
placing
some,
that bet.
It's
just
over 3-1.
I just have to.
It's over 3-1.
Out of the law of respect for what he's doing, I have to go place that bet.
When does he get fired? I mean, if you do get raced by the Vikings this weekend, I think it's fair to start wondering aloud. And here's the other part. One, it's the fewest passing yards for a winning quarterback since 07. Eli Manning. It's
over. Hall of Famer. So you're telling me Bo's going to the Hall of Fame? Is that what you're telling me?
He shouldn't be a first ballot. That should be on the record. He shouldn't be in, but his last name's going to get him in. Now, the Jets. You can say, it wasn't Rodgers, Sprague. Excuse me. Who picked the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Who swears by the guy?
Yeah.
Hackett is terrible.
It was a Zach Wilson revenge game this weekend.
I don't know.
After the Vikings, they got Buffalo at home, the Steelers, at the Patriots, Texans at home. And then they get a bye.
Yeah. And could you see him losing at New England? Because I wouldn't be shocked at this point.
I mean, that was a torrential downfall or downpour game. Like, it was pouring the entire game. So it's going to be hard to throw the football. Their inability to run it is, I mean, that's
Brees
that's
Hall has
Army
been
issue.
One of the more disappointing players to start the season.
The rookie from Wisconsin.
Braylon Allen's the best back.
The player, yeah.
Brees Hall yesterday had 10 carries for 4 yards. He didn't have a carry longer than 3 yards. And Denver's got a good defense. Give him credit there. That's a really good defense.
Well, also, Garrett Wilson. I mean, I kept hearing he's a great number one.
Yeah.
I kept hearing all these things about this is why I bet against the Jets to make the playoffs. The Jets are always going to jet.
They had the thing after the game, too, where it was a cadence thing where Saleh saying we need to change up our cadence because we kept having guys jump off sides. And then Rodgers said, or we could just hold guys accountable. And it's like, oh, this is going great.
Everything about the Jets, and it's him. It's Rodgers. Yeah. The personality, the diva, the holier than thou, I'm the smartest guy in the room stuff. Like, Saleh's going to get fired if they keep sucking. There's no doubt about that. But he's just not a good leader to me. Mm-hmm. I have been out on Rodgers for a couple years now, and I can't really trust it. You just watch his leadership style. It's the passive-aggressive, you know, going at the coach, and it's everybody else's fault. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're a weird team, man.
That was a bad loss.
How do you lose to the Broncos like that?
You know what Bo knows? Bo knows how to win, baby. That's what Bo does.
Backwards Bo.
Backwards Bo, just getting dubs out here. No big deal. Eating that W. Let's get to a couple other NFL notes. We'll wrap up with Monday Night Football tonight. Does Seattle get a win in Detroit? Lots still to get to back after this on The Fan. We got Jacob chiming in. 35 minutes behind right now because of an AM meeting, but I can confirm the Vikings are the kings of the NFC right now. You're damn right they are.
Hey, undefeated, man.
Undefeated, 4-0, beating good teams, too. And Jordan Love was back in that game.
Would you be willing to say they're the best team in the NFC, or would you do they're the best team in the NFC right now?
I want to go look at, maybe I can, what are their odds to win the NFC right now?
Have
they shot up like crazy, or are they still
7-1.
7-1?
There's like 4 other teams to win the NFC.
That are ahead of them?
Yeah.
Then I would place a bet on that. I think there's good value there then still. That's always the fear if you catch on when a team's hot.
Would you like to know those teams?
I would like to. Let me guess them.
It's 2 other teams right now.
And the NFC have better odds?
Yeah.
The Niners have to be one of them.
Niners are. And they beat them.
And they beat them head-to-head.
Who is it?
Lions?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Still the Lions?
It's the Lions.
Yeah. So then they have the third best odds.
They're tied with the Eagles at DraftKings
in some sports books. Oh, yeah.
I mean, who are you trusting more right now, Philly or Minnesota? It's not even close. Philly's got questions at quarterback. I don't know about their head coach.
I mean,
they just got bludgeoned by the Bucs.
The Commanders right now plus 2,000.
The coaching advantage certainly is in Minnesota's favor.
I think they have an awesome head coach, man.
But I think the one thing that still leaves me a little like iffy is how many games until I feel like Sam Darnold is Geno? How many games until I think Sam Darnold is Jared Goff? Where I'm buying that this is a legitimate turnaround and not a coach putting him in the right spot with the best receiver, a good running back, a decent offensive line. Like, what's that point for me mentally? Because I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I think the counter argument would be, does he have to do that? Because he has all those other things. That's the beauty of being Sam Darnold right now.
To win in the playoffs, I think that I have to see it.
Okay. Because their offensive line is legit, and they got maybe the best wide receiver room in the NFL. They have the best wide receiver in the NFL. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and to your credit, last year you went all in on the Purdy thing before all of, you know, got real noisy. Like, hey, this guy's winning. And it was easy to say, well, the weapons. And I don't know where their season's going to go. They continue to deal with injury after injury, but they got Debo back this week, and Kittle had an amazing catch over three defenders.
Yeah, they did what they were supposed to do this weekend.
But I watched that game on my quad, and he has plays that you're not going to see on SportsCenter highlights that he's starting to look like that guy that has the confidence built.
Mm.
He knows the system. His pocket awareness, his ability to escape defenders that are rushing in, like, Purdy has built that now. I'm watching him, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Nice
he's
play.
Evading guys. Yeah, he's extending plays. He's hitting ball. He make explosives. He had a great throw to Juwan Jennings down the field this weekend. And I think I just need to see a little more from Darnold, even though, yes, the defense has been amazing. The weapons are nice. Need to see a little more as this goes on to fully buy that Darnold has turned the corner completely for his career.
How dare you? How dare you not come in today?
Sizzler.
And bring me your hot takes. I'm
well, you gave the hot take.
I'm a little upset at you.
You gave the hot take.
I'm upset at you. That's the funny thing about Purdy, though, when you mention that, is that it's cracked me up his first 2 years of his career. Like, this, we just pretend that this is who he's going to be, and he's never going to get better. Like, he's not a seventh-round pick playing in his second year in the NFL. You don't think in year six he's going to be any better than he is right now? Can we at least have that be a part of the conversation?
Sure,
that maybe
absolutely.
He might improve
yes.
as years go on and he's coached and he's like, hey, I wouldn't pay him. Well, like, yeah, now he might not be a top five guy to you, but what's he in 5 years? Like, he's only getting better in the NFL. So, I don't know. I chuckle at that stuff sometimes.
What I know the most is confidence at that position is a premium.
It is massively important.
And also, I know it's September.
Yes. Yes, it is.
A lot of football to be played.
Tough one from my boy Herbert yesterday. They blitzed out to a 10-0 lead on Kansas City. A couple of turnovers, a fumble, and a pick. And you're like, man, they might actually do this. Now, I did gamble on them early in the week because I knew Herbert was going to play. He doesn't miss games. So it's just about him finishing. So that 8.5 was a bit of a big line for me. And eventually, I think, got south of a touchdown prior to kick. But it just was, they have now extended one of the longest winning streaks in NFL history over a divisional opponent on the road. I think I can't remember the number off the top of my head. They've won like 10 in a row or something stupid in L.A. or in San Diego. They played them in different places. But they win every time they play the Chargers on the road. And that one hurts if you're Harbaugh. Because you had them. They had a fourth and short late when the game was still 10-10. They elected to not kick a field goal. They threw the ball, which I didn't really like that play call. Chris Jones was in the backfield in a half of a millisecond. You're like, okay, this is incomplete. And then, of course, what does Mahomes do? He's a zombie and a cockroach, and you give him another chance, and there's a touchdown, and Kansas City wins the game again.
Mahomes down 10 is now 12-0 in his career.
That's so stupid. That is so stupid.
I said this.
Nothing we can do, man.
I said
there's
this,
nothing. It's all hope is lost.
Last night on the gambling pod, it's
the rebellion failed.
I don't know what you do here because they clearly are a flawed team that you can see, but they win.
Their defense is outstanding. And
Chris Jones is the best defensive lineman in football. Their linebacker play is exceptional. Xavier Worthy caught a big deep pass yesterday, but their offense continues to be weird, and post-Tyreek, his yards per average has gone down, but it doesn't matter because he makes the throw when he needs to make the throw.
There's a long tutty to Worthy. That was a beautiful ball to get him on the board late in the first half.
Yeah. We all know they're not perfect, and none of this matters because they're going to three-peat. And that's probably the most disappointing part of all of this is
yes.
all the fun little stories and teams that are...
Hey, Vikings, Commanders,
Yeah. Hey, Flacco's back.
Hey! Hey.
The Colts offense actually looks good now. That's weird.
Yeah.
And none of it matters because go play Patrick Mahomes and go up 10 because he'll beat you every single time.
Still beat you if you do that. Any big takeaways lastly on the NFL weekend from the Ravens and what they did to Buffalo last night? That was a nice win for them. They needed that.
Yeah, here's my takeaway. How did they lose to the Raiders?
I don't know. That's one of the bigger head scratchers.
It's the stupidest loss of the season.
They let their foot off the gas and they stopped playing that game up by 10 in the second half, thinking over.
Mungren? Started figuring out, why don't we establish Derrick Henry early and that will allow everything.
Munkin,
yeah.
I was like, who's he talking about, Munkin?
Yeah, Munkin.
Who's this Munkin?
Todd Munkin.
Former Georgia guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Former Georgia OC.
Why don't we start with Derrick Henry and then let everybody else then adjust after that?
What did Mahomes start? Or what did Lamar start? Was he like 10 for 10?
Something like that.
It was impressive. So I mean, the first play of the game was a 75-yard touchdown run. It was like, oh, hey, look at that. Okay, that's good.
87.
87,
yeah,
thank you.
87, yeah.
87-yard touchdown.
That's not even the longest touchdown run of his career.
He had a 99-yarder. I'll never forget that. That was still nice, though. Buffalo, they were due for a clunker. They had been playing great early in the season. That was one of those games kind of got away from them. They had the turnover. When they were getting back into it, you had that turnover, and you're like, all right, they're not going to
win. When he hit the secure long pass.
Yeah, there's a pucker there.
Did tell yourself, oh, it's 21, what was that, 21-10?
21-10.
And then you're like, if you get a three and out here... But then they did.
They got the ball back, and then that's when I think they tried the trick play.
That's right.
And then he fumbled, and then they went up 28-10. Right. You're like, all right. But as a Ravens better, there was a pucker. I had a pucker there early in the second half. I thought, can I just have an easy win for once in my life, please? Big win for the Ravens. There you go. That's as much as we can encapsulate from the weekend in the NFL.
Bad loss for the Saints.
Really bad loss for the Saints, and a brutal beat for you on that.
Thank you.
Minus two.
And that half point.
Bad beats are bad beats, and that was a really bad beat, man.
Absolutely.
That was a really bad beat. Let's get you set for Monday Night Football. And final thoughts from the
playoff
the
baseball
crazy Monday. We got playoff baseball kind of, but technically going on today. Final segment next on the Fan. Before I forget, I do want to chuckle about College Game Day announced they're going to Cal this weekend.
First time they've ever been to Berkeley.
Cal, Miami,
the woke agenda. Welcome in Florida.
I saw the headline and I'm like, that makes no sense. And then you scroll through the weekend slate and you're like, kind of makes sense.
Well, we know they're going to Eugene next weekend.
They are.
That's like the dirtiest
secret. Because the only other game that they could have thought about going to that made sense would be Iowa, Ohio State, but they don't want to do the same team back-to-back weeks. And I know one would be in Columbus. They have done it before.
They did it to Colorado last year.
They did. Do you believe now? So there's a funny chuckle for you. Miami at Cal is your College Game Day game.
Not that it's a big talking point and not that anybody really cares. I'm finding it interesting. I think the Big Nooner's gaining traction in on game day.
It is not.
It's not.
I've seen the numbers. It is not.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw a thing that said they were pretty close.
No, I think it's a bloodbath, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Yeah. I think the Saban...
Well, Urban Meyer sucks.
Urban Meyer sucks. Nick Saban, they have Miss Terry on this weekend in Tuscaloosa, and it's Pat McAfee standing up on his chair.
Screaming and offering scholarships to kids who miss field goals.
Yes, yes, he is. It's better than what Mark Ingram's bringing to the table, I'll tell you that much. Are your Braves going to get it done today?
Yeah.
Do you care? Are you still emotionally invested? Have you given up? Are you hopeful?
I won't be devastated if they actually
miss
out.
They only need to win one.
You just got to get one. You just need a split.
I think they win the first.
That's a pucker if you lose the first.
Here's the thing. I don't think this team's good enough to win the World Series.
That's fair.
And hold this for when they win the World Series.
When they win it all. Because the last time you won like 88 games in the regular season.
It's, again, a different feel than that team. This one, we are this is a mash unit. But this guy that's pitching tonight, Schwellenbach, pitches well against the Mets. So I think they win the first. I couldn't care less if they win the second. And then they get to turn around and play the Padres tomorrow.
They do. Then you go to San Diego.
That's awesome.
San Diego. Monday Night Football tonight, right here on The Fan. You like the Seahawks.
Well, I think, like them plus 3.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the over in the game. I don't know if I got a feeling on a side.
It's 4 right now. They're getting 4.
Yeah, it's up to 4, yeah.
I like the Hawks getting 4.
Can I get an adjustment on spring?
No adjustments. No adjustments.
Seems unfair.
Enjoy the football. Hope you had a great weekend. Everybody enjoy the baseball. Blazer Media Days. Who do they think they are, Media Day in September?
Blazer Media Day.
What are we
Day.
Doing, man?
It's We're going to the title.
It is not Woo! Christmas yet. What are we doing?
Parade down Broadway.
That'll do it for us. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. Brady Henderson joined the show. Go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. Matt Thurton's breaking out, 1080 The Fan. Like the video on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We love you all. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. Listening to 1080 The Fan.